Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
If the governor could sing, this is probably what he'd be singing. I'll be there for you. The theme from Friends.
Well, he has been.
Not, I'm not saying you can't sing, Governor. I just.
So, which member of the Friends group do you most associate with?
Chandler. Oh, do I? Oh, yes. Joey. Oh, I'm Joe.
Oh, I'm Chandler.
Joey. I see that. yeah, I haven't even thought about the answer for myself. Yeah, I get. Does that mean I'm Ross? It probably means I'm Ross.
No, I can see you more Chandler.
I can see. I can see you more Chandler. Yeah.
I'm Gunter. I'm the weirdo.
Gunter.
There you go.
There you
How
go.
How are you guys?
We're doing great.
It is our pleasure to welcome back Governor Chris Sununu. So, are you more optimistic? I mean, in the week that we chatted, more optimistic? The same? Less? I mean, where are you?
I mean, in the last week, honestly, that's an interesting question. The same. You know, I feel pretty good. I think that the guidance documents we've put together are pretty good. I think that these initial steps of opening retail and golf and all that are being done very smartly, and I think Department of Public Health did a good job, and the task force did a good job putting all that together. I mean, you know, we're still people are tired of hearing me say it, but I'm going to keep reminding folks from now until, you know, we get through this. Rockingham and Hillsborough are still effectively suburbs of Boston. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts still has a big issue. We have to be very cognizant of that. Travel and tourism is still taking a real beating, and again, they rely on mostly out-of-state traffic. So I know that's a very big point of frustration for folks if you're in the Lakes region or the North Country, like, hey, our numbers are getting better. Open up. No, we can't because we're just very, you know, intentionally inviting people from high-risk areas to come up. So we're just not there with a lot of that. But I feel good that we're taking the right steps. The numbers are still where we expected them to be. They're there. But, you know, on any given day, our percent positives are hovering around 5, 6, 7%. Maybe we get a spike at 10 or 11% on certain days or down to 4 or 5% on other days. But we're kind of hitting this next lower plateau in terms of the positive tests that we get as we increase testing. Antibody testing is now out. More people can get tests easier this week. We have that new online portal. So a lot more tools in the toolbox. And so I still feel pretty good. But, you know, my job is to plan for the worst and hope for the best. And so in that respect, I got to stay, you know, cautious about how we do it, how we roll things out. But, you know, economically, we're not in the worst shape. We really aren't. I know 15% unemployment sounds unimaginable, and it is, but that does mean 85% of our workforce has remained at work in some capacity and working and all that. Mm-hmm. Folks that are out of work still have, they're getting an unemployment package like nobody ever imagined right now over, I mean, some people are bringing home $4,000 a month, something like that. So that's enough to pay rent and pay bills and put food on the table and not get evicted or foreclosed on. So there's been a lot of financial support out there. So, you know, this isn't going to be like the big recession of 2009, not at all, not even close, because there's so much financial support coming from the federal government that we're going to have to pay for, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I know.
But it is going to help us kind of get through this and get our economy back on track even faster than I think most people anticipate and appreciate.
And at the same time, it's still encouraging to be cracking that reopening door today, just to get it open a little bit.
It is. I think people are, you know, those first steps are moving. I think that gives people the hope they need, right? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a path forward. There's a strategy and a plan to get to where we all want to be. And we're actually not just talking about it, but executing on it. And that's a great sign. Now, other parts of the country are going to be able to move faster than us. Some parts will be able to move, are going to move slower. We are in the Northeast. That is the hotbed of this COVID crisis in the entire country. We are right smack in the middle of it. We don't have Massachusetts issues, of course, but we're right in the middle of New England, and you can't ignore that fact. So, you know, even though we're in the middle of the hotbed, we're still managing to open some things up. We're still managing to take some steps forward and having all the new testing capacity and the antibody tests and, you know, the PPE. We still have millions of masks being flown in at a pretty good rate, which is great, so we can offer them to the public. That's all. Those are all really important steps to allow us to take these steps. And again, with the warm weather coming, I think everyone's feeling a little better about our prospects down the road.
Do we run the risk, Governor, of getting a little cocky, a little arrogant? When you look at the numbers that come out every day, the majority of the numbers, as you well know, are people over 60 and have been involved with some sort of residential
long-term care.
So people are looking at that going, I'm not over 60, and I'm not, hey, it doesn't apply to me. And we can undo that which we've been doing so well at?
Yes, we could. Now, the good news is this, I have always said I anticipate more surges to come, not maybe to the level as it started, but little waves, if you will, as we go through the summer and into the fall. But the most important thing is, can we manage it? Yes. Do we have enough hospital beds? Yes. Do we have enough ventilators? Yes. Are there more pharmaceuticals coming online to manage those symptoms? Yes. So that's the most important piece for us, is that our system will have the capacity to manage in terms of your term, get kind of cocky. Kind of ignoring the numbers, right? I don't know if that's getting cocky, but it's if we kind of ignore the numbers and just, you know, go with the public push, go with, you know, a vocal minority that says, just open everything up.
Well, yeah, no.
You can't do that. That wouldn't be responsible. So as we take these steps forward, we're going to be smart about it. And as you've heard me say on this show before, I know for a fact that opening quickly does not help your economy. It doesn't. It actually can put you in a much riskier position. My job is to plan for the long term, for late summer, winter, next spring, right? We got to make sure that we are really sound there. And if you open too quickly and you get too cocky and you hit a surge that you cannot manage, you've done horrible situations to yourself economically.
Right, because then you have to close it up again rather than if you open slowly, we can hopefully stay open.
It's a marathon.
Yeah.
It is a marathon. You don't get halfway through a marathon and say, you know what, I'm just going to sprint the last 13 miles because I feel pretty good right now. That would be cocky. That would be very cocky. And then all of a sudden you hit a heartbreak hill and you go, wait, I'm not even finishing the race. This is a disaster.
Yeah.
That is a really good analogy, if I may, because that's our approach right now. We're at, I don't know, mile 9, 10, 8, I don't know, somewhere in there. Don't know when the end is, but I can tell you we got a long way to go. Keep your pace. We're doing well. Mm-hmm. Keep up a nice pace. Find your rhythm, and we're doing that, and we're getting things open, and again, I think everyone feels good that we can get to the end of the line. We can get to mile 26, but we still have a ways to go, and if we just are disciplined about it, play for the long term, we're going to be in very good shape.
All right, so we've got the PPEs, we've got the hospital beds, we've got the things needed to deal with surges if they come.
And not be overwhelmed.
So,
right.
So what keeps you awake at night? What are you worried about that you want to see happen?
You know, I think the kind of that juxtaposition of someone in the North Country or someone in the Lakes region that says, hey, I don't have a whole lot of COVID up here in Coos or Belknap or Carroll or Grafton County. We don't have a whole lot of COVID. My hotel is empty. My restaurants are empty. No one's coming up for travel and tourism. Come on, what you're doing down there in the southern part of the state is unnecessary. And that's a tough thing. People are watching nobody walk into their business when they have virtually no COVID in their town, but that's because so much of their business relies on folks from out of state. And so what keeps me up is just that push, if you will, because I know so much of the negative impact here has been restaurants, hotels, hospitality, tourism. Those are the top four. Healthcare, too, a little bit. But healthcare is going to snap back a lot faster than any of those will. There's so much money being pumped into hospitals right now from the federal government. Our hospitals have already received over $300 million. They're online to get multiple more insurges of that money. There's still another $140 billion to be put out. And so hospitals are going to be okay. They're going to get a lot of cash through the system. Mm-hmm. Travel and tourism, not so much. Restaurants, not so much. Right. And so those are the ones that are really going to be in tough shape, and they employ tens and tens of thousands of people in the state. So getting us to the point where we can open those, that's a real challenge, and that's probably what keeps me up the most, because I'm thinking long term. Short term, we're going to be, believe it or not, we're going to make, I think, good steps here and start opening things up. But long term, for some of these businesses, it's going to be absolutely devastating. Businesses that are small, they're mom and pop, they're great small local businesses, but there's thousands and thousands of them that hire so many people in the state and are so integral to our economy. And I take the economy very seriously, as you know here. We pride ourselves on building one of the best in the country, and we will do it again. But the housing and you know, the path forward for those folks are still it's still a fog, you know. And I'm the type of guy, I like data, like I'm an engineer, I like figuring things out. So I don't like being in the unknown. And if I may, you know, if you remember, for about 10 years, I was an environmental engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we did is we poked a lot of holes in the ground looking for contamination, really hard to find contamination, where groundwater was flowing, and you'd kind of look at the data. And then you'd kind of say, look, we think that the contamination in the groundwater is going in this direction based on a couple holes that we poked in the ground and where we sampled groundwater. But you're never really sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of back in that mode. I'm kind of back in that engineering mode where I have some points of data. I'm poking some holes in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know where we're going, but it's a little foggy still. I'm still not sure exactly what's happening under the surface there, and so therefore, constantly running those mathematical iterations in my head at night in terms of timing, money, all that kind of stuff. That's what's really keeping me up a bit.
But we're also going to be learning as we go along, because as we open up retail businesses and hair salons and barber shops and golf courses, you're going to be taking data from as these are opening and applying it to moving forward.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So the fact that antibody tests are now here. You can order a test online. I mean, these are things a month ago I said, oh, boy, I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point. Boom, we're already there.
We're here.
These Abbott rapid tests where we were getting, you know, 100 cartridges a week, we're now getting about 1,000 cartridges a week just for those. We're doing over 1,200 tests on average now over the past few days, and that's going to increase. So to your point, I finally get to sleep at about 4 in the morning because I finally come to that realization, hey, wait, we are doing better. We do have more tools in the toolbox. We can make smarter steps here as we go forward. We're constantly getting smarter and smarter as a country, as a world, if you will, in terms of how this virus moves. You know, antibody tests, I'm a little nervous about. They're great tests. We have an FDA-approved, very accurate test. But how good are the antibodies for? Are you really immune from this for life?
Yeah, we don't know
that
yet.
We don't really know. Yeah, we don't know. That's still a big unknown. So we don't want to give anyone any false sense of security in that, hey, if you have antibodies, you'll never get COVID again. We cannot say that. Yeah. We absolutely can't. We know at least in the short term, you're very likely immune for the short term. But no one really knows where this is going to go long term. And how best to use that test? You know, I mean, are we going to get to the point where you can't come into a facility unless you show us your antibody papers
or something like that? I don't think so.
So how are we going to use that test to its fullest?
Chris, be careful. You're showing leadership qualities, and some people are not going to like that. You know that.
Even through the haze of exhaustion, I still have my bright moments every now. I tell you what, man, it's all about a team.
Yeah.
It really is. You got to surround yourself with good people and empower them. Hold them to certain standards and accountability. Everyone's given 110% in Concord in terms of the Emergency Operations Center, HHS, safety. The one thing I'm good at is finding good people, and I've surrounded myself with a really good team, and I'm blessed. We are all blessed.
Well,
we are all benefiting from that, and God bless it. They deserve the credit.
You managed to find us every week, so I guess we're good people. Governor.
We all have dues to pay. We all have dues to pay.
Governor, stay well. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Be safe, guys. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Governor Sununu.
He's the man.
There you go. Checking in, man.
He's the man. And you know what? He does. He totally credits his team. He just totally credits his team.
He's good
people.
Yeah. Or that's us.
Well, okay. Right. We'll throw ourselves in at the back of the room.
Well, nobody else is going to volunteer, so I might as well do it.
Hey, every now and again,
yeah.
we have to bring the brass section up and toot our own horns.
Hello,
you know?
It's the blind squirrel, the nut, you know, the whole thing, all right?
But we
do appreciate the governor checking in and letting us know what's going on so we can pass it on to you. That's how this works, you know?
Yeah. And so, don't forget, we post these interviews at 1077WTPL.com. After I get posted.
You post the interviews. You haven't showed me how to do it yet.
All right, listen, you're on the team. It's okay. See how it works?
Okay, this team member's going for coffee. Have fun with that. We got news on the way back on the other side with more. Come on back.